Praise the Lord. Amen. It's surely, when we gather like this, is one of the most joyous days, I say, of the entire year. When we gather as many of us together as possible, we know the saints pay a price to come together in one place. But wasn't the Lord's table heavenly and blessed? The Lord is with us, saints. At the end of the Lord's table, as we are worshiping the Father, we sang this one hymn, 36. We praise thee, glorious Father, as objects of thy grace. And in the second stanza, it ends this way. And this word just rose up in me as we were singing. Soon! Soon shall we be, O Father, with Christ in glory then. Will shine in his blessed image eternally. Amen. Soon. Oh, saints. Soon. Don't you have the sense in your heart? It is soon. And I do believe so many of the Lord's children everywhere have this sensation, this realization. Soon. Of course, the writers of these hymns, we have hymns that are even centuries old, and they also said soon. And the Lord did say 2,000 years ago, behold, I come quickly. But we have to say, Lord Jesus, to you it's quickly. To us, it's not so quickly. Come, Lord, soon. But there is a sense, I do believe, and in the body of Christ, in the body of Christ, that we are at the end of this age. Amen. And the Lord's coming is soon. And saints, the first verse, do we have it? Yes? Yeah, can we see the verse, the whole verse, 2 Peter? 1:19. Here it says, and we have the prophetic word made more firm, to which we do well to give heed, as to a lamp shining in a dark place, until the day dawn, until the day dawn, and the morning star rises in your hearts. And saints, here we have a kind of a dual implication, a dual meaning. On one hand, this is pointing to that day of the Lord's soon coming. That's when the day will dawn. In the New Testament, we have this picture that we are right now in the nighttime. We are passing through the darkness, a period of darkness. That's why in Revelation, in the book of Revelation, less darkness. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. That's why in Revelation, the church is presented as a lampstand. When does one need a lampstand? When do you use the lamp? Do you use it in the middle of the day when it's so bright? No, because we have the sun shining. When do you need the lampstand? In the dark night. In the dark night. But this verse not only talks about the day as dawning, it also talks about the morning star. And that morning star is the star that comes just before the dawning of the day, actually at the darkest hour. And saints, this is a strengthening to us. This should be a strengthening to us to know that, and to realize that as the day of the Lord draws nigh, actually, the age will become darker. Darker, even the darkest. We should not be bothered. We should not be unsettled by the spread of darkness. Actually, even that is a kind of sign that the Lord is coming soon. And we're awaiting that morning star. You know, in Revelation 22, actually, this was one of the verses for this morning. It says that our Christ, he is the morning star. He is the morning star. And that alludes to this, saints, that yes, the Lord is coming. The day will come. All will see him sooner or later. All will see him. Every eye will see him. But there's a promise of his coming to some of his seekers as the morning star. That you get to see him before the full day comes. Oh, isn't that in your heart, Lord? I'd like to see you as soon as possible. I'd like to get the first glimpse of you in your coming. In your coming. So, yes, this talks about that coming, that the Lord's actual, literal return. On the other hand, it says here something happens in our hearts. In our hearts. What is that? The day should dawn, firstly, in our hearts. Saints, is the day dawning in your heart? And is the morning star, has the morning star risen, or is it rising in your heart? Actually, that has to come first. The rising of the morning star in our heart, that has to come first if we want to be those that see him as the morning star. But saints, here at the beginning of the verse, it talks about the prophetic word. We have the prophetic word. And you know, the function of the prophets, the function of the prophets in the Old Testament was firstly to present Christ.
Первое, чтобы представить Христа, чтобы говорить Христа. Господь говорил нам в Луке 24 главе. Господь говорил, чтобы
That was the day actually of his resurrection, but they were not convinced of this yet, and they had not seen him yet. And they're discussing there, and at a certain time, it says he begins to open from all the scriptures the things concerning himself. He from Moses and the prophets. Saints, everything of the Old Testament, including all the prophets, all the prophecies are pointing to Christ. There are even aspects of Christ. So the first function of the prophets in the Old Testament was to speak Christ, to speak the things that point to Christ. But also, they were speaking to bring people back from apostasy, from going off away from God. Remember, in Jeremiah it says, my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the river as the fountain of living waters, and hewn out for themselves cisterns, broken cisterns, which hold no water. So even then, Jeremiah was there speaking to call God's people back to himself. That was a great function of the prophets, to adjust them, to turn them, to bring them back. He was as a husband, he said, it says in Isaiah, your maker is your husband. He was there as the husband to his people, calling them back to himself, back to himself. Many, his people had gone a-whoring after the idols, but he would never give up on them. He was always calling him back. So saints, the prophetic word has this function, to show us Christ and to call us back all the time. To present Christ and to call us back. And saints, you know, with this kind of sense of the Lord's soon return, there is a kind of awareness, especially among the believers, not just we, all our brothers and sisters everywhere. There's a kind of sense, oh, he's coming back. And there's a kind of, as we look at the world events that have been going on in recent years, and even in this year, in these months, even in this week, things occurring. Some of the Lord's children, they begin to be a little either unsettled or curious. Some are unsettled. What does this mean? What's going on? And it brings a kind of anxiety. It brings a kind of anxiety because people don't know what exactly is happening. But others try to apply or interpret some of the situations according to some of the prophecies. I would tell you, saints, be very careful over this. Be very careful over this. I could tell you as a testimony, over these last several months, I've heard some wild speculations from based on some verses. Saints, be careful. Because even the Lord Jesus in Matthew 24, also in Luke 17, he warns, be careful. There will be what? False Christs and false prophets. And some saying, come here and go there. Saints, we need to hold the prophetic word more firm. The important thing is, what is going on in your and my heart? Amen. We want the prophetic word to cause us to be firm. We hold it firm. Romans, I think we have this verses, Romans, yeah, 13. Let's read these two verses together, Romans 11 and 12. Chapter 13, verses 11 and 12. Please go. Saints, again, there is a kind of sense in the Lord's children. The night is far advanced, and the day is approaching. Oh, saints, yes, our salvation is nearer than when we believed. It's so near, and this is talking about the full salvation, even the salvation of our souls. Yes, it's nearer. What should be our attitude? This is our burden this morning. Well, let's go to Thessalonians. We read a few of these verses. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. We had 4 and 5. I'll read this. You can follow along. But you, brothers, are not in darkness, that the day should overtake you like a thief. For you are all sons of light and sons of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. But we just said we're in the dark period. Yes, we're in the dark period, but we are not darkness. Amen. We are not of the night. We are sons of the day. Amen. Actually, even in Ephesians says, we are the light in the Lord. But my burden, saints, is with verse 8. But since we are of the day, let us be sober. Let us be sober, especially in our mind. Let us be sober-minded. Let us see clearly what the Lord is doing, where we are, and what we should be. That's our burden this morning. Let us be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and a helmet, the hope of salvation. Here, it's talking about the armor that a believer puts on. It also speaks of the armor of God in Ephesians 6. Little difference here. Actually, in Ephesians 6, what we see is the armor that's on the body, that's applied on the body. Yes, we apply it personally, but it's the armor of the body. Here, it's more on the personal side. And here, it says we need especially two things, a breastplate and a helmet. And I think we all know when there's a kind of a warfare, the things you must protect the most are your heart and your mind, your head, the heart and the head. And that's a picture of the spiritual reality in the spiritual warfare. Saints, we all need the breastplate of faith and love. Faith and love. When the enemy wants to put down a believer, the first thing he attacks is their faith and their love. And it seems even so easy, I feel, for him to attack these two things, faith and love. And saints, our burden is as we are in the midst of this dark age, at the end of the age, and as the Lord is preparing everything for his coming, we would remain sober and care for the things that we must care for. You know, for the Lord to come, this is the revelation in the New Testament, even in the whole Bible, with the book of Daniel particularly. For the Lord to come back, we know from the prophecies. That's why we need the prophetic word. Three groups of people will be made ready at the end of the age for the Lord to come. And that is the nation of Israel. The nation of Israel that plays one particular role. It was a great, great step in this matter in 1948. That was before I was born. But the Lord took this amazing step that the nation of Israel could be reformed. Never in history has there been such a thing. A nation, 2,500 years, that didn't exist, and then brought back together like this. This is the prophecy. There must be the nation of Israel, and some particular things with them. I won't go into any more detail. The second group of people that need to be prepared is the nations. And there has to be a certain scenario set up. I won't go into any detail there. Because, saints, neither of those two deal with us. All we do is observe. And sometimes we don't understand how this happened, why that happened. I would just encourage you, don't lose sleep over this. And don't let your peace be robbed by the Lord, by the Satan. Don't lose our peace. Lord, you see something happen, you realize, amen. Amen, Lord. You're doing something. You're a step closer, probably. I don't even know how that, whatever happened, fits into the whole scenario, but I know the heavens rule. It's Daniel chapter 4. The heavens do rule. Lord, I don't know how it fits, but it's not my job to know how it fits. I have my role. You have your role, saints. Nation of Israel, the nations, the third group that has to be ready is his church. Amen. And that's where we come into play. We, his church. What must we do? What must we do? We must put on the breastplate of faith and love and a helmet, the hope of salvation. We just had a conference in Phoenix, Arizona. A number of us, we saw those messages, or some of us were there, on the preparation of the bride. Saints, that's our role. That the bride would make herself ready. Ready for the Lord's coming. And today, with these verses in Thessalonians, we'd like to let you know, this is a very practical way to prepare ourselves and be made ready. What is that? The breastplate of faith and love. You know, in Revelation chapter 2, it does show us that the beginning of the degradation of the church, this was the first basic factor, the losing of the first love for the Lord. And those believers there in the church in Ephesus, I'm talking about Revelation chapter 2, the epistle to the church in Ephesus, they had many good works. They had many proper qualities. And the Lord said, he praises them over certain things. And then he says this, but I have just one thing against you. Just one thing. But saints, the one thing is the most important thing. We don't want the Lord to be against us in this matter. So what does it say? Repent and do the first works. Do the first works. What does that mean? That means don't stop your activity, but come back to the Lord. Make sure he's the first love, and then all our service is out of our first love. So it doesn't mean abandon the service. It means let's come back to refresh our love for the Lord. Saints, every day, every morning especially, we need to spend a few minutes to renew our love for the Lord. You know, at the Lord's table, I think we always enjoy this, especially when we're worshiping the Father. We often remember what's spoken in Galatians, that the Father sent the Son, the Spirit of the Son, into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Abba, Father. Very often at the Lord's table, I tell you, my love for the Lord is renewed week by week to start off a brand new week. What a way to start the week, to in the Father's house. And his banner over us is love. Oh, saints, I just thank the Lord so much that we start every week with the Lord's table meeting. Don't miss the Lord's table meeting. Whatever we do, we must not abandon our own assembling together. And we must exhort one another to be in the Lord's table meeting. Our love for him can be renewed. In Romans 5, it says that the love of God has been poured out into our hearts. Saints, we need to take this verse, Romans 5:5, and just claim it. Just claim it. Not just here. Here, it's easy to say amen. The love is poured into our hearts. Amen? Amen. But saints, this verse applies on Monday morning. This verse applies on Wednesday afternoon. The love of God is still poured into our hearts. So we can at any time say, Lord Jesus, I love you. And never, never feel hypocritical. Sometimes the enemy, we might say, Lord Jesus, I love you. The enemy right away comes. Oh, yes, really? Didn't you just do this and this and this? Oh, saints, maybe we did this and this and this. But we take another verse. Well, 1 John 1 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And then you go a few verses later. It says, not only this, it says, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. He's there right away, taking our case before the Father, reconciling us to the Father. We're back. Saints, we can be back instantly. But we need to be sober-minded, and apply the Word of God. You know when you do that? You have the breastplate of faith and love. Not only your love is preserved, your faith is preserved. Saints, the enemy, his main tactic in this age, especially at the end of the age, is to wear down the faith of the saints. And he will use anything. He uses even our own physical body, our health. So many, as we get older and older, we struggle. We struggle with different things. And that may discourage us. Oh, saints, we need the breastplate of faith even in this. Concerning family situations, with our children, with our grandchildren, the enemy would try to weaken us. Yes, we all face these things in different degrees, in different ways. Oh, but we need to exercise to have the breastplate of faith and love. Sometimes situations in the church life, here and there, they will interrupt in our group meeting, in our district meeting, things. Saints, don't let the enemy weaken your faith. The church is the Lord's. We need to look away to him all the time. Not focus on any situation. Yes, in human life, we must deal with the practical situations. But as we're doing that, we need to look away. To who? Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith. His human life was not a pleasant life. It was not a pleasant life. All those years he was in that physical body on the earth, he was looking ahead at the prize. That's what it tells us in Hebrews. And the same way, he's become our pioneer. He's become our captain of salvation, and the perfecter of our faith. He's the author and the perfecter. Saints, he's authored faith in all of us here. We have faith. Because we look the way to him. one day. But he's also the perfecter. And we need our faith perfected day after day after day. Saints, because the enemy is relentless, it's as if he's a cornered animal. The end is coming. And all he can do is slow us down. Ultimately, Christ has won the victory. That's why we need the prophetic word. We can see that. We can see the end already. And we need to remind him of the end. I won't fall for your tactics, Satan, because I know, you're just desperate. I take the Lord's word. We stand on the word. When we stand on the word, faith and love. Faith and love. And also the helmet, the hope of salvation. Saints, I'm struck with this charge. Let us be sober. We need to be sober in our mind. Don't let your mind wander. Sometimes the enemy will inject one thought, and if you allow that to take root, it's just a downward spiral. It could be just a news item, breaking news about something, and it just sends you for 3 hours, maybe half the day. You're just wondering, the Lord's coming, I'm not ready. Oh, saints, that doesn't help you grow. That doesn't help you grow. Maybe you can't figure out, and you don't want to figure out all the things from the prophecies. You just know, oh, Lord, I'm not ready. But then you become anxious, and then you become discouraged. Oh, saints, we need the breastplate of faith and love. We need the helmet of salvation. We need to say, oh, Lord, your love has been poured out in my heart. You can claim Ezekiel 36. Wait. I have a new heart and a new spirit.
Amen.
And you can claim 2 Timothy chapter 1. Wait. I don't have a spirit of cowardice. I have a spirit of power. I have a spirit of love. I have a spirit of sober-mindedness. Saints, hold the word. When we hold the word, we have the faith and the love, and we have the helmet of salvation. And I, just in closing, there's some other verses here. I'm just going to leave you with 1 Thessalonians 5. After these verses, verse 14 talks about, second part of the verse, console the faint-hearted, sustain the weak, be long-suffering toward all. This is part of being sober-minded, saints. Don't be worried about what's going on in the nations, what's going on in Israel. We need to, what? Shepherd the saints. I shepherd you this week. You shepherd me next week. We need to strengthen the faint-hearted. We need to console the weak. Saints, we need to be in the church life.
Amen.
And then, what's next? Verse 16, 17, 18. Let's read these verses. Always rejoice, unceasingly pray. In everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Saints, it's interesting. In the last two verses we're going to read, you can see 23 and 4. Yeah, this talks about at the end of verse 23, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So in this chapter, at the beginning, Paul is talking about the Lord's coming. He's talking about the Lord's coming. And we're not of the day. We're not of the night. We're of the day, right? The day is coming. Then at the end of the chapter, he comes again. The Lord's coming. He talks about the Lord's coming. We need to our whole being needs to be preserved for his coming. But in between, do you know what he talks about? Firstly, the church life. Be in the church life. Secondly, our enjoyment of Christ. Always rejoice. The Lord's coming, but don't get caught up with this and that. Rejoice. Don't let anything rob you of your joy. Unceasingly pray. And this doesn't mean, pray for things and pray for the world situation. If the Lord leads, this is mainly talking about what? Pray unceasingly. By having a constant, continuous, uninterrupted fellowship with the Lord. You know the best way to pray unceasingly? Oh, Lord Jesus. Breathe the Lord, to breathe the Lord. And what? In everything, give thanks. Saints, no matter what the situation, even the enemy is using his wearing down tactics, in the midst of that, we can give thanks. There's something we can give thanks for. Let's read 23 and 24. Then our brother will share some more. Amen. And the God of peace.
I just follow our brother concerning the sharing. And we need a breastplate of faith and love. You know, the first portion of the word we read was 2 Peter chapter 1. And concerning Peter, I feel he is really our example. Because he is, you know, he touched the matter both love and faith and love. And in his epistles, he also touched this matter of faith and love in a particular way. You know, in the 2 Peter, he mentioned about that we all have received equally precious faith. Amen. So we all have. It doesn't mean someone... faith has a, you know, more, better quality than yours or mine. We all have the same equally precious faith. And I enjoy that. Of course, he mentioned this matter, so he has it. And he fully realized this faith is in him. And it's also in all of us. You know, with the faith, the quality is the same, but the quantity may be a little different. Some people are. Then how come, you know, some has more faith and some has less faith? It's because, you know, in the word it mentioned that faith came from hearing, and hearing from the word of God. I really touched that. Peter, even though he was a fisherman, but you know, when he wrote the two epistles, we realized he was a different fisherman. And just by the last portion our brother lead us to read in 2 Peter in 2 Peter chapter 1 toward the end concerning the prophetic word. The prophetic word refers to the Old Testament. So I believe Peter was daily in the Word, and that gave him the faith. And not only he read the Old Testament, he also read the New Testament. You may say, well, where he got the New Testament from? The New Testament he received, he read, as also to the end of 2 Peter. When he was recommending Paul, that he mentioned that Paul's writing some are difficult to understand, but the unlearned, unstable person, they twisted it, and to their destruction. It shows that Peter was very much also into Paul's ministry. So I think this is really precious, you know. And we know the Lord Jesus also, you know, when he was tempted by the devil, and he quoted Old Testament, Deuteronomy, and the enemy, Satan, was fully defeated. And so today, with him as the example, we all, you know, I think in New York City these years, the Lord has really led us into God's Word. And I believe this... help all of us, not just to have the equally precious faith, but also has the faith. There were the law. Faith is just the Lord Jesus infused into us. So this way, we get infused with the Lord Jesus, then our faith increases. So I just follow our brother that, you know, we all need this in order to have the breastplate of faith and love, you know. And love, Peter is also very much into the matter of love. I think he mentioned, whom having not seen, we love. Amen. Even not seeing at the present, but we believe. And we love the Lord Jesus, you know. I just want to touch one practical point. That is, Peter, after following the Lord Jesus, he was a fisherman. When the Lord called him, he was fishing, and according to Luke, he caught fish, but when the Lord called him, and he followed the Lord. And, after the Lord's resurrection, he let some brothers go fishing, and they could not catch any. And the Lord said, cast. You know, the Lord was on the shore and prepared breakfast for them and told them to cast the net. And there was a big haul. A lot of fish was caught, and 153. Peter, you know, the brother mentioned, hey, it's the Lord. And Peter, right away, he dropped all the fish on the boat. He jumped into the water and come to the shore to meet the Lord. So, our brother mentioned that the church in Ephesus was rebuked by the Lord because they lost the first love. To love the Lord with the first love, the best love, is to give the Lord the first place. Amen. You know, we all need to learn this. Otherwise, you know, we have a lot of things to do during the day. We get distracted. Peter, he has changed. When he heard the law, he dropped all the fish, and he just come to the law. So we all need to learn that, you know, to give the law first place. And that's the first love. Keep us loving the Lord, you know. I think last conference when Brother Ed was here, he taught us some practical things we have for us to love the Lord. That is, you know, our love, if it comes to us, come from us, it doesn't last. It doesn't last too long. So every day, our brother just mentioned, when you tell the Lord, I love you. And that I love you bring us to the Lord. I love you. Help us to have the love refreshed in all of us. And he also tells us, in fact, Peter, the Lord on the shore called them, and all the disciples came back to the shore and had breakfast. And the Lord asked Peter, when he brought him a separate, and asked him three times, do you love me? Peter dared not to respond with the word that the Lord used, the agape. You know, love has two. One is filio. Filio is Philadelphia is filio. That's kind of an intimate love, but not agape, which is God's love. So three times the Lord asked him, do you love me? And three times he said, I love you, filio, love. And, but in his epistle, he changed. He changed. He changed. He really showed us, you know, the way how he moving from the gospel, John 21, to the book of the epistle of Peter. You know, he mentioned about starting with faith, then virtue, and then knowledge, then self-control, then endurance, then godliness, then brotherly love, then love. That love is the divine love, is agape. So, you know, Paul has really role, you know, Peter. So I just feel he's a very good example for all of us that to get into the Word and to love the brothers and to enjoy the church life. And so we all can go on, can grow, and for his purpose. The other thing I want to mention is Paul's his concept concerning value has changed. You know, in the gospel, of course, you know what his profession is fishing, and he treasure his fishing skill, and he treasure, you know, he can go fishing, and that's why what's the main thing for him. I think all of us sitting here, I think we're all on our hearts, what's important for you? I don't know, you know. I have something, but there's something quite often replaces the law. You know, the time we're doing something, maybe in the morning, you get up. Sometimes I want to do something in halfway, and the Lord said, hey, turn to me. So I'm learning to turn. And I'm learning to change the concept concerning value. When we value the law, we give him the first place. if we value something else, that something else will replace our love for the law. So may the law shine on us and pray some of the prayers Brother Ed brother was concerning, you know, show me your love. We don't have love. But when the Lord show you his love, well, your heart will turn. And I'm learning to pray very often. And quite often, I realize that in very small things, the Lord show me his love. And you may think, oh, I'm lucky. No. For us Christians, no, there's no such a thing, lucky. Because everything is sovereign. The Lord just, if you just pay attention, I'm learning to pay attention in my daily living, pay a little attention, and you just realize, whether you're driving, whether you're doing, taking care of practical things, the Lord is there. The Lord is there. The next sentence Brother Ed mentioned was to constrain me with your love. You know, that is really precious, you know. When the Lord constrains you, you just love him. And the other thing is, attract me with your love, amen, with your loving presence. Amen. So may we all, love the Lord. And this morning, so many came, even raining. You know, the temperatures today is supposed to be over 100, but right now it's, I guess, the 90s. And you are here. I think you value this gathering. That's very good. I know someone coming from different state just to come to join us. So we just heard so many from different countries are here to join us this time to put the law first place.
Amen.
Love the law first.
Amen.
And the law may gain our hearts.
Amen.
And build us up together for his purpose.
Amen.
Amen.
Turn this mic up. Perfect. Thank you. So a few of us have been asked to confirm the word so we can come up. Don't our hearts burn when you hear the Lord speaking?
Amen.
Amen. Well, brothers, we can all come up. We're asked to. Thank you, Brother Timothy. Maybe I'll go ahead and start. You know, I really would say that the sequence in this verse, 1 Thessalonians 5:8, is accurate in my experience. Since we are of the day, let us put on a breastplate of faith and love, and a helmet, the hope of salvation. You know, when my faith is healthy, my love for the Lord is burning,
amen,
it is bright,
amen,
and it is on fire.
Amen.
And when my love for the Lord is burning and bright and on fire, I have no problem with negative thoughts. I have no problem understanding what kind of days we are in. Everything becomes clear. Just consider, first I must take care of my faith. I'm reminded of one of the verses the brothers shared this morning, Romans chapter 10, verse 17. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. Brothers and sisters, when I spend adequate time with the Lord and the word, my faith is healthy. My faith is strong. When my faith is healthy and strong, my heart is burning for the Lord. My love is so fresh. And again, when my love is fresh, there is a helmet. My mind is covered. My considerations are covered. The negativity is kept out, and we're full of the Lord's heart. So may we be in the word and take care of our faith. Oh, that we would have the breastplate of faith and love. And a helmet, the hope of salvation.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord, saints. Aren't you so appreciative of God's word? This morning we saw that we are in a dark night. But even though the world around us is dark, what do we have? We're of the day. We're not of the night, right? And we have the prophetic word made more firm, which is a lamp shining in our being until the morning star rises in our hearts. And I just appreciate this morning for God's word. Weren't you so appreciative in Romans 5 that the love of God has been what? Poured into our hearts. And we have a heart, right? Full. We have a spirit of power and a spirit of what? Of love. These are the facts, brothers and sisters. No matter how we feel, we can lay hold of the word of God. And I appreciate this morning to realize, brothers and sisters, we need to maintain. It's not that we need to get this, right? It's not to step up. But actually, we already have all of these. We have the love of God. You know, the church in Ephesus, the one thing the Lord had against them was that they lost. They had it. They had the first love, but they lost it. So I was encouraged this morning, brothers and sisters, we need to maintain our love for the Lord. Amen. Every day we need to come to the Lord to renew our love for him. Amen. And I appreciate our brother sharing some simple prayers, right? Lord, show me your love. Amen. Constrain me with your love. Amen. Brothers and sisters, let us be those who have the Lord as our first place, Amen. Who have the first love, Amen. Who would lay hold of this prophetic word, Amen. Right? That we would have the breastplate of faith and love. Amen. So even though we may be in a dark situation in the dark night, we would not lose hope, right? But we would not let through sleep. What did our brother say? Don't lose sleep. Don't lose sleep over all these things. But rather, we would come back to the word of God every day. Enjoy Christ as the word. Lay hold of Christ, Amen. That he would be our breastplate of faith and love. Amen. Then the morning star will rise in our hearts, Amen. Right? And we will be here to meet the Lord. Oh, the Lord is coming soon. Amen. May we be those who are ready for the Lord's coming. We would prepare ourselves as his bride.
Amen. Hallelujah. As his church, we need to be ready. We need to be made ready. And I appreciated our brother shared that this begins with our time with the Lord in the morning. Every day, every morning, we need to come back to the Lord to be refreshed by him so that our love can be made fresh, so that our love can be renewed and restored. There are so many things going on in our personal life, in our work life, but we have the Lord. We're not like everyone else. We are filled with him and we enjoy him. These are facts. I appreciated our brother shared with us Romans 5:5. The love of God has been poured into our hearts. Amen. So no one can tell us we do not love the Lord. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So we need to claim these facts. And actually, this word from Peter is very poetic. Until the day dawns, and the morning star rises. He could have stopped there. But he referred to our heart, realizing that just like Paul in Romans 13, the indispensable requirement is for us to love the Lord.
Amen.
If we love the Lord, everything is okay. And the only way to love the Lord is to take heed to the prophetic word. We need to be, The prophetic word not only makes our heart burn for the Lord, but it protects our mind. It causes us to be sober-minded. For what reason? So that we can claim the truth and claim the promises that have been made to us in the Word of God. Amen. So brothers and sisters, may we be those not only who come to the Word, but who cling to the prophetic Word. Morning by morning, we need to come and enjoy the Lord in His Word and enjoy His Rhema speaking so that we can face the darkness that we're surrounded by. Our brother reminded us, we are surrounded by darkness, we're in the darkness, but we are of the light.
Amen.
Let us walk in the light and be children of light.
Amen. When we read 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 19 this morning, and the brothers had shared with us the burden a little bit prior to this time, spending some time with the Lord, my feeling is that, brothers and sisters, that not every day is the same. Not every day is the same. You know, tomorrow, if we're there tomorrow, we'll have 24 hours just like today. And yet tomorrow is not going to be the same as today. And even if you do the same things tomorrow as you do today, tomorrow will still not be today. No day is the same. And the reason why I had that realization is because in 2 Peter 1:19, the charge there is we take heed to the prophetic word, and then the Bible says, until the day dawns. Amen. In other words, the Bible is pointing us to a certain day. There is a day, brothers and sisters. Do we realize that there will be not just a day, the day, until the day dawns? And the fact that there is the day, it shows us that we all are approaching something. Our lives are not going boundless, no limits, just going to the end and we don't know how long it's going to be. No, there is a limit. There is a day that will be dawning. And because of that, every day is different. Tomorrow, we will have less time until that day than we do today. Tomorrow, there should be more urgency, more immediacy in our hearts. Lord, I have less time. Because brothers and sisters, on the one hand, we don't know the day of the Lord's coming. But on the other hand, we also don't know when we will go to the Lord. We have a limited time, brothers and sisters. And whenever we come to the Word, I just appreciate it. If having this realization, what do? We have to give heed.
Amen.
Give heed to the prophetic word.
Amen.
And I was just thinking, Lord, I give heed to so many other things. You know, the brothers talked about the first love. The first love there is the best love. The word first there is translated best in Luke 15. So the first love there is the best love. But if we consider our experience, sometimes the Lord is, you know, He's not our first love. He's our second love. He's our third love. He's our fourth love. It's not that we don't love the Lord. It's just that the Lord doesn't have priority over other things in our lives. But the Bible says we need to give heed.
Amen.
We need to give heed to the prophetic word.
Amen.
And this word will make us ready.
Amen.
How sad, what a shame, brothers and sisters, it would be if we were in the meetings and we know that the Lord is coming. And we got all the facts, and we interpret all the prophecies correctly. We can interpret the world situation. We nail every single, you know, world happening event. And yet, when the Lord comes, all of that meant nothing because the world was ready, and yet we were not ready. Everything that the Lord is showing us in the world, in the Word, is so that we ourselves would be made ready.
Amen.
Brothers and sisters, not every day is the same. Oh, may we approach every day like it really, really counts.
Amen.
Because, Lord, I don't know when you're coming, and I don't know when I'm going to you. So, Lord, help us to take heed to the prophetic word.
Amen.
Then our faith will grow, our love will grow, and when the Lord comes back, we will be ready.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, brothers. Believe it or not, we have a few extra minutes. So, brothers wanted me to share a little bit.
Sorry, let me hold my mic a little. I'm not going to follow the line the brothers were speaking, because this is reminding, admonishing words is very precious. But given the real situation what we're facing, because we're full of love, but yet we need to have a discernment in our love. These days, saints, everything is downhill because many Christians misuse what's the true God's love and what is our love toward a God and toward people. On the other hand, the unique word empathy has been invented and developed in the past almost 90 years. And this word is trying to change position, always enter into the weaker person or the needy person's position, try to understand from their point of view, and also try to help them to their needs. As a society, it's good. We need to help the needy, help the weak ones, help this, help that. But we're too easily drawn into a snare. That snare brought many of the Christians down to have not only empathy, but to sympathize with the evil things. Sympathize with those committing obviously sins, even crimes, against God's word. Saints, this is where I think our brothers really remind us what we needed to, how do we live and facing today's situation. On the other hand, saints, because the day is getting darker, the night is getting darker, even though we are light, when we are light, we can not only draw truth seekers, we can draw mosquitoes, we can draw many other things. Saints, we needed to have a discernment. In Matthew 6, I want to use this word. When our Lord was trying to teach us, you shall pray this way. Even though sometimes we think this is all, this is a generic prayer. No, if you read the prayer ministry of the church, Brother Nee, use this portion of the word to teach us how to pray. Let me read it, refresh your memory. This is so, you know, most of us probably can recite, right? All right, let me see. Let me find it. Okay. Then you pray in this way. Our Father who is in the heavens, your name be sanctified. Only his name should be sanctified. Not any American idols, not any presidents, not any party leaders, not your CEO. It's our Father's name, our God's name should be sanctified. Saints, we need to clean our lips, clean our hearts, and clean our lips. Because these days with the social media, you can see all kinds of evil things become normal. That's where Isaiah chapter 5 always tells us. These days, our brother used it yesterday, they call sweet bitterness. Bitterness is sweet. Darkness light, light darkness. Evil good, good evil. Everything is turning upside down. Saints, only our God's name needs to be sanctified. Only his name deserves all our praises. Your kingdom come. Your will be done, as in heaven, also on earth. Saints, this is our heart. This is our longing. This is our walk in the Lord, always looking upward, looking heavenward. Lord, make my day count. That's why this year, our first banner is numbering our days. Numbering our days. It's not like a counting to death, but counting to the overcoming time. give us today our daily bread. Since we know there are so many changes in the world, even I'm not trying to give a prophetic word. With all the changes, many saints may face difficulties in their jobs, may even lose their jobs, may even have to look for new jobs. And saints, the word says, in nothing be anxious. In nothing be anxious. Just ask the Lord, give us today, today's daily bread. Of course, his word is our bread, but also, saints, no anxiety. In nothing be anxious. My time is running out. Of course, next one is forgive our debts. We also have forgiven our debtors. Saints, in the church life, among the saints, this is something we have to clear our account before the Lord comes, settle accounts with us. If we don't settle our accounts with one another, forgive one another, when he comes, when he settles accounts, we have no excuse. My key burden is here, but I will read it. Is, and do not bring us into temptation. Saints, these days, we truly need to be very, very vigilant. Do not bring us into temptations. Saints, these days, our younger generation, our children, and even you go to the library, a brother went to the library, take a few pictures for me, because he brought his young daughter to the library. Those books, saints, 20 years ago, 30 years ago, those are evil, evil books. Now today is displayed in public libraries, in book clubs, to our children. This indoctrination is temptation. Saints, we need to stand firm on this. We need to stand firm. We're not against the downfall trend. That's not our responsibility. But for our children, our family, our church, we need to stand for the saints. Do not fall into temptations. The next one is to deliver us from the evil ones. Saints, the evil one is tempting us from all dimensions. All dimensions. Today, saints, these are the temptations of many different kinds. We need to be watchful with the discernments. And then deliver us from the evil one. Saints, these days actually, this is one of my very regular prayers. Lord, deliver me, bring me not to fall into any temptations. Saints, even some saints you may be familiar with, you have not seen them for some time, they came back to you, if your church life is good, maybe something else also changed. Those, we also need to be very cautious, very watchful. And saints, Lord, do not let me fall into any temptations. Deliver me from the evil one. Saints, these days we need to remind one another. The church life is full of love. We need to protect one another, guard one another, but with a firewall against the evil one. Many saints are standing on the breaches of the fire, the walls, just like Nehemiah. He stood on the breach of the wall. And the church life is a refuge. It's a refuge city for the seekers, for our dear saints. So saints, just as a reminder, we need the love, we need the faith, we need the helmet for salvation, but yet we need to really be watchful for any of this temptation and the evil one. May the Lord shine through New York, the church in New York City, shine through our saints. But yet is a shining forth, is a casting away the darkness. Be salt, be salty, but draw many seekers into the church life. Amen. Amen.